I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thank you, Jeff, and welcome back. Grant and Danny, final hour, 106.7 The Fan on a Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. We will get into the declaration for the draft of Chase Young at 118 on the show coming up in 15 minutes in detail. Major implications, ramifications for the Redskins picking second. Charles Davis, who might be our favorite NFL guest and is one of the smartest football guys in the country, has a million jobs, joins us. You've seen him on Fox Sports and on NFL Network. We're going to preview the games with you in a minute, Charles, but I want to get your reaction to Chase Young. I don't know if you've started digging on your draft reporting yet, but is he unique, game-changer, special, defensive player of the year worthy, or is he really good defender who there's one of in every draft class?
No, I think he is. First of all, Happy New Year, guys. Hope everyone's well, can hear our voices. But yeah, I think he's worthy of all of those accolades. And I haven't started digging deep yet, as you might imagine, just coming off the NFL season. And, you know, when you're working an NFL game every week, I'm not good enough to say, hey, every week I'm going to watch tape on this guy, this guy, this guy. I have the intentions, but it doesn't mean I get it done. But it's not hard to watch. Like, you know, on Saturdays when you get done with your stuff, you'll watch some games and see some things. And the reason I think that he's worthy of all the accolades is I think that there's still a level that he hasn't gotten to yet, in my own humble opinion. Because when I'm watching him rush against who he's playing against, and let's be honest about it, like all of college football, most of the guys are going to end up like me. I played college football. I was fairly decent at it, but I wasn't NFL worthy. He's going to play NFL worthy every week. Doesn't mean his talent isn't up to it. It is. But I still think that he's got more that he can put into his arsenal in terms of pass rush, which is why I really like him. You know, remember Josh Allen coming out of Kentucky last year? I thought the same thing with him, and we saw that start to develop his rookie season. I think you'll see the same thing out of Chase Young.
Charles, before we get to the matchups this weekend with the good teams that are still playing, the Redskins starting the rebuild, whatever you want to call it, what are your thoughts on Rivera, Jack Del Rio as part of that staff?
I think it's the home run hire of the early hiring season, because to me, the only way you get a better home run hire is if Urban Meyer decides to coach again and someone snatches him up. Because I think Josh McDaniels, we're going to spend more time talking about him taking the Colts job and exiting it, and besides his accolades, you're going to say, is he really living up to this? Because remember last year, they ended up hiring, what, two or three assistant coaches during the short time he was a head coach, that they had to honor their contracts and let them coach with Frank Reich's staff that first year. Whether Frank Reich knew them or not, they were now part of his staff. So those types of stories will swirl around. It feels like McDaniels is open to moving this year, so he would be a big-time get, but that will continue to pop up. Meyer would be the home run deal coming out of the college ranks with the great unknown. Can the college guy make it to the NFL? I think he can. But bottom line is, Rivera was the top candidate, and he would have fit here. He fits perfectly in D.C. as far as I'm concerned. He would have fit very well in Dallas. He would have fit very well in Cleveland, because they need a veteran coach with skins on the wall who can reach some of these guys out there. Can you imagine Baker Mayfield walking into a meeting with Ron Rivera, who is a very affable guy, but let's not forget he was a starting linebacker in the NFL that will put a forearm shiver in you and say, all right, good young man, appreciate what you're doing, love you wanting to be the face of the franchise. Let's just start with this rule. Everything that comes down the pipe does not need a comment from you. Let's start with that, and then we'll work our way back from there. So he fits perfectly. Let me finish with this, guys, and I'll shut up for once. In D.C., we all know that he had to sit down with the owner, Dan Snyder, correct? This is a different deal because Ron Rivera is smart enough to have done his own homework. You heard the story about him calling Joe Gibbs. But even beyond that, he's seen the graveyard of coaches that have come through there. And by the way, those are pretty darn good names that have come through there. These are not just a bunch of slappies. You talk about Steve Spurrier. You're talking about Joe Gibbs' second tenure there. You talk about Marty Schottenheimer, right? These are not just a bunch of, oh, wow, what the heck, guys. There were a couple of those in there, but not for the most part. So he had to, when he sat there with Dan Snyder, he had to have heard that, hey, I want to do things either differently or your vision, Ron, I'm buying into it. I'm going to give you not just carte blanche, but I'm going to find a way to let you execute it. And bringing in Jack Del Rio is a great announcement that, hey, maybe things might be different here because Ron Rivera is able to bring in the guy that he wanted.
Charles Davis on Grant and Danny. You can see why we love him joining us here on The Fan. Charles, let's get to Saturday night's matchup. The Patriots, this is not your older brother's New England. They got to go on the road at some point. They're not going to be getting the bye week. No, they are, at this point, only 14-13 when they play teams where Belichick's matching up against his former assistants. They're getting ready to play Mike Vrabel. Tom Brady's got 30 playoff wins. The other 11 playoff quarterbacks have just 26. How do you feel about the Titans suddenly with the best offense in the league under Ryan Tannehill against the Patriots who struggle to score points?
Well, it's just so interesting to me that stat you cited about Belichick versus former assistants, because what you have in your mind that the master would have pretty much dominance over the kids, and instead it's 14-13. That just blows me away, because you would think Bill Belichick, when meeting those former people, oh, yeah, Belichick decided advantage. But here's where Tennessee comes in, feeling like New England's somewhat vulnerable, and Tennessee has finally hit their identity, which is what they wanted to hit from the beginning of the season. The identity is run the football with Derrick Henry with a big offensive line that moves people, make key throws when you have to outside, and A.J. Brown has developed into a heck of a slot receiver as a rookie and a strong guy who can actually run some of those tight end routes inside if necessary. Play excellent defense with a defense that was going to be top 10, and they've lived up to that. It's all hit. Now, they didn't start the season that way because there was such an emphasis on getting Marcus Mariota going. And once they realized that wasn't going to happen and they turned to Tannehill, then they were able to coalesce. And last but not least, Derrick Henry, guys, preseason, we know no one plays in preseason games, but guys practice, right? Derrick Henry didn't practice because he was hurt all the time. He was over on the sideline working out. So it took a while to put it all together with a first-year play caller and Arthur Smith. They have it now. They're extremely confident. They feel like New England's as vulnerable as they've ever been. We all know that comes with a caveat. It's still New England. But I think the formula holds. I think we got a heck of a game on our hands in Foxborough, because this is a New England team that knew they'd get an open week if they beat Miami at home and couldn't get it done. That wasn't a giveaway game, right? That wasn't, we got nothing to play for, Miami beat us. They knew what they were playing for, and Miami got them. If you're a team now, you come in with extreme confidence, hey, this is our time to go get New England. Doesn't mean you do, but you come in feeling like you can.
Yeah, I know it's the NFL, and this is the best of the best here going, so forgive the terminology here, Charles, but who should be on upset alert? Thinking of some of the home favorites, we think New Orleans, I mean, Seattle going on the road, they're not getting a bunch of points there. Houston's at home. It may even be New England with that Tennessee team that you're talking about. Which of those teams should be on upset alert?
Well, I think that the ones that are most vulnerable is not quite the right word all the time, but the ones that I'd have the biggest eye on, I'd have an eye on Seattle going to Philadelphia. Our crew did that game earlier this year, and Seattle controlled most of the game. But this is Philadelphia team I think is playing with house money, guys. I mean, just getting to the playoffs with that roster, the way things broke down with all the injuries, and to win your last four, to beat Dallas. And by the way, did you guys have a tryout at receiver with Philadelphia about a week ago?
Greg Ward beat me out.
All right. So now Greg Ward, the first time we saw him this year was in our game. He played well. But name the rest of the receiving core. You know, Ertz doesn't play against Dallas, so Goddard steps in and does well. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he was a jump ball, red zone guy trying to develop. Can you name the rest of them? Who was the tight end who caught the touchdown pass? Was that Perkins?
Yeah, it was not Goddard. It was the other guy.
It was Perkins, all right, who had just been added to the roster. But don't you see Carson Wentz playing as loose and as free as he's played maybe since the year he probably could have been MVP and got his knee hurt and Foles won the Super Bowl? I think with all the guys who had played before, and you heard all the rumblings in the locker room, Carson's not a leader, Carson's not this, there was always reports that a lot of it came out of their receiving core. Well, I think right now he's like, look, these are the guys. They may not be as talented, but they're doing what we need, and we're making plays. And Seattle coming off of a brutal game against San Francisco, very physical, very emotional, making the trek east. Now, they handle coming east well. I think they were undefeated this year coming east and playing at 1 o'clock. But still, that's a lot to ask. I'd be most leery about that game. I think Buffalo-Houston's pretty much even. They're just playing it in Houston. We've already talked about New England. I think that New Orleans, if Minnesota can't run the football with their normal authority, I think New Orleans has a decided advantage in that one.
And one thing about the Eagles, you mentioned the teams that have won 9 or fewer games and won their division, you know, the punching bags that always get in of the bad divisions.
Yep.
They're actually 9-5 in the postseason. I can't explain that. I don't know why that is. I mean, obviously they're at home, but just to say, oh, they're not that good. Well, that hadn't really stopped teams from beating better teams than them from the regular season in the playoffs before.
And don't forget real quick with that stat. Remember, that team that got in typically had to win their way in. So they've been playing playoff games for probably 3-4 weeks down the stretch, right? So in order to get in, they had to have a little streak going, okay? Or they had to win a winner in game. Remember Seattle when they played the Rams that one year, 6-9, got to 7-9. They beat the defending Super Bowl champs New Orleans, who came in a little bit beat up. And then Beast Mode and Beast Quake happened that day. So you're exactly right. So those teams sometimes get into a role. It's a lot like the NBA Finals. If one team goes 7 and the other wins it in 4 or 5 and is sitting around for a while, don't you almost always bet on the team coming off who's been playing? Because they find a way to win. They're already, you know, loose and in the groove. Remember Philadelphia beat L.A. that one year? And it was a one-game deal. L.A. came back and won the next 4. But these are not 7-game series in the NFL. They're one-game deals. So those teams coming in like that often have a bigger advantage than we give them credit for, and they play a little bit looser than the team coming in that's the favorite.
Go give Charles a follow on Twitter. Let him know how good he is on our show, at CFD22. Watch him NFL on Fox, NFL Network, and as you get ready for the draft, you'll get a lot of Charles Davis in your living room. Appreciate you as always, sir. Happy New Year.
Enjoy the weekend.
Happy New Year, guys. Always appreciate you. Take care and the best to everyone out there.
Same to you. One of the best. We love him. Charles Davis on Grant and Danny. Speaking of Danny, you're off to the doctor.
Yeah. Big, complicated, 3-hour, full-body, comprehensive physical thing that my wife's been itching for me to take.
It's kind of a show.
It's basically the, let's really find out what's wrong with you. Like, all the deep-laden stuff that might come up in a while. There's like CT scans involved, a lot of like touching my side fat. Not that steamed up about it.
I want to talk about the possibility of Chase Young to the Redskins at number 2, or should they trade back? We will do that next with Young declaring for the draft just moments ago on Grant and Danny. It's January 3rd, or also Black Friday, if you paid attention to the Redskins' introductory press conference of new head coach Ron Rivera yesterday, with team owner Daniel Snyder wishing us all a happy Thanksgiving. Never forget that that happened, by the way. Just a baffling way to start what turned out to be a good day at Redskins Park. It's a Football Friday. We are presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Big news of the day just trickled down within the last half hour, and there are direct implications, major ramifications for the Redskins. Chase Young, the Ohio State pass rusher who is considered to be the best defensive player in this year's draft class and unequivocally the best player in the 2020 class, not named quarterback Joe Burrow, your Heisman Trophy winner and potential national champion quarterback from LSU. Young has declared for the NFL draft. There was some speculation that he was not going to enter the draft this year. And the reason people were saying that, and I think it was misguided and foolish and ridiculous, but people said that he may wait one more year and come out next year after a potential new wage scale was agreed upon in a new collectively bargained agreement between the league and the Players Association. I never thought that was a plausible idea or that it was realistic at all, but a lot of people kept saying that it might happen. We now know that it will not. Chase Young is coming out in this year's draft. He is going to be, very likely, the second player chosen after Burrow. The only question is, will the Redskins make that pick, or will they trade down? In his statement, a lot of words, a lot of things said by Chase Young. I'm not going to read it all because it's, frankly, biblical length in its text. But he said, after an amazing 3 years at Ohio State, it is time for me to begin the next chapter. I'm excited to finally announce my declaration for the 2020 NFL draft. And then he went on to talk about how grateful he was to the Ohio State program. Here's what I'd like to do with you guys. We're going to have months to talk about Chase Young at number two, the possibility of trading down, which is a very good practice generally, and which really smart people tell you is how the draft should generally be conducted. Move down for value and more picks, more good players, better than a shorter number and a fewer number of great players. Essentially, quantity of good over quality of excellent. But would you rather have Chase Young at number two or put that draft pick publicly up for grabs and state that you are willing to trade it by placing it on the market? Put it on the trade block and see who gives you the best package and maybe see if you can land a couple of first-round picks from a team like Miami. Go get yourself another wide receiver to pair with Terry McLaurin, 7 yards shy of the Redskins' rookie record this year. Excellent speedster and route runner. Physical, good hands, did everything right. Finally an elite weapon in this offense. You want another one? You want Jerry Jeudy? You want one of the wide receivers from this class that's considered one of the best wide receiver groups we've ever seen in the draft? To pair with maybe a defensive starter? Maybe it's a D lineman, maybe it's a linebacker, maybe it's a corner that you get. Two first round picks instead of Chase Young. Or do you just go with this guy out of Ohio State who this year had 16 and a half sacks and 21 tackles for loss, who in his career has 30 and a half sacks and 40 and a half tackles for loss, who is considered to be a world-eating wrecking ball, who offensive coordinators are going to have to game plan for? The hype is out of control on Chase Young, and for good reason. Before I give you my thoughts on what I'd like to see the Redskins do, let's hear from Charles Davis of NFL Network and Fox NFL Sunday coverage, who we just talked to. I asked him about Chase Young and whether or not at this point he can say confidently Young is a can't-miss prospect.
And the reason I think that he's worthy of all the accolades is I think that there's still a level that he hasn't gotten to yet, in my own humble opinion. Because when I'm watching him rush against who he's playing against, and let's be honest about it, like all of college football, most of the guys are going to end up like me. I played college football. I was fairly decent at it, but I wasn't NFL worthy. He's going to play NFL worthy every week. Doesn't mean his talent isn't up to it. It is. But I still think that he's got more that he can put into his arsenal in terms of pass rush, which is why I really like him. You know, remember Josh Allen coming out of Kentucky last year? I thought the same thing with him, and we saw that start to develop his rookie season. I think you'll see the same thing out of Chase Young.
There's a lot of time between now and the draft in late April. Almost four full months. I reserve the right after the combine and after pro day and as this draft board changes and we're going to be topsy-turvy and undulate between guys who are can't miss and who aren't and players who will move up and down the board. You don't have to form your roster in February. Great quote that longtime special teams coach now with the Steelers, Danny Smith, once told me when he was here running the Redskins special teams when he was on the beat. I'm going to alter that for a second. I don't have to tell you who I'm drafting at number two on January 3rd. But here's what I will tell you. As of this moment right now, if the draft was today, I would not trade down. I would take Chase Young. You'd better blow me away with your offer. I'm not unwilling to trade back, but you better knock my socks off. I need multiple ones, and I need something next year. I need a package. Maybe it's not Julio Jones-esque. When Atlanta came up the board for the great wide receiver out of Alabama, perhaps it's not the Skins trading with the Rams to come up to two from six to get Robert Griffin III in 2012, right after Andrew Luck went number one. But man, you'd better impress me. You better put a bow on that package. You better wrap it up nice. It better be under the tree. It better be the best paper you could have found, and not some roll that you got for like 42 cents in some bargain bin somewhere. As of right now, I'm taking Chase Young, and I'm going to make one big decision on draft night after another if I have to trade down, and they're not all going to be right. I mean, that's the fear. Yeah, you get more picks. You play the lottery more times. You have a better chance to win. But when you draft Chase Young and you just kind of set it and forget it, maybe he ends up being Jadeveon Clowney, right? supposedly can't miss, who's just turned into a good player. But what really is the floor? If he busts, quote-unquote, if he's not who we think he is, he's probably just a good pass rusher who gets you 7 or 8 sacks every year. That's the worst-case scenario. You trade down, you get later first-round picks, and you bust there? Those guys aren't in the league in a few years. Those guys never help you as a starter. I mean, how many second-round picks, which would be part of the package, presumably, you're getting back, have the Redskins missed on? But here is why I'm taking Chase Young and not trading back as of right now. And again, you may listen in April, and I may feel a little bit differently. If you know this show and you listen to me regularly, you know I don't change my mind very often. But I add information to my file, and it's early. I mean, this process is in its infancy. This baby was just born. It'll be a toddler by the time the draft rolls around, right? Here is why I'm pro Chase Young right now. The Redskins lack great football players. They don't have them. Ideally, adding a bunch of good ones, that helps too. If you trade back, you could do that. Fine. The Redskins have not had game changers in years. They have not had players on offense that can take a first down on a 10-yard throw and turn it into a touchdown. They haven't had running backs who could rip off 64-yard scores like Clinton Portis did way back in 2004 in his first carry when he joined Joe Gibbs against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Doesn't exist here. You block for 15 yards, you get 17 or 18 falling forward. You throw a nice pass downfield if you're Dwayne Haskins for 22 yards, that receiver's probably going to the ground after 26 or 27. I want on offense weapons after the catch. I want guys that defensive coordinators lose sleep thinking about. And on the other side of the ball, defensively, you need guys that can't be accounted for, that need to be double teamed. You need guys who can take over games, that can end drives. You've had good defensive players. Ryan Kerrigan, perennial Pro Bowl type, really quality defensive player, 10 to 12 sacks every single year. Coming into this season, in the 2017-2018 years, only Aaron Donald had more sacks than Ryan Kerrigan. Productive, at times prolific, but not the kind of guy who wins awards. Not a defensive player of the year type. I long for that. I want that. If you're a Redskins fan, that's how you get good again. That's how you go from being bad to competitive and competitive to being a contender. You know who the last first-team All-Pro was in Washington in 1996? Matt Turk, who was a punter. You have not had a first-team All-Pro, meaning the best player in the league at his position since a punter in 1996. And you want to look this gift horse of a potential defensive player of the year caliber defensive lineman in the mouth and say no thank you? Before that, who was the last Redskin to win All-Pro before Matt Turk? 1 year earlier, 1995, a return man, Brian Mitchell. Not because of his exploits as a running back, but because as a return man in 1995, Brian Mitchell on special teams was the best at what he did. Before that, it was another punter, Reggie Roby. Now, they call these colleges like offensive line U or linebacker U. The Redskins should be special teams U. First team All-Pro punter, return man punter, back to back to back, 94, 95, 96. The last time a position player on offense or defense in this organization was considered the best player in the league at what they do was a linebacker in 1992 by the name of Wilbur Marshall. Most of you guys listening, my age, 31 or younger, never saw him play for the Redskins. Don't remember that age 30 season for him because you were three. You were in diapers. Career high, 138 tackles, 6 sacks. He was awesome. 3 forced fumbles, a couple fumble recoveries, 2 picks, scored a touchdown. He was great. That's the list, 92. Since then, nobody's been an All-Pro. Before that, Hall of Famer Darryl Green in 1991. Jim Lachey, offensive tackle, 89 to 91. We have gone almost 30 years in this city without the best player in the league at any given position on offense or defense. So if you want to trade down, I'm not going to scream at you. It's very reasonable. In fact, I would say 85, 90% of the time, I think it's the right thing to do. It's the right practice. And in the end, maybe I'll decide this year if there's enough warts, there's enough blemishes and red flags that pop up, that maybe it'll be the right thing to do this time. But as of this moment, right now, on the day that Chase Young declared in early January, ahead of the late April draft, I am taking him with the second pick because I have not had an exceptional player on defense a best player in the league type in almost 30 years. What do you guys think about the Young declaration and the number two pick? And about the player himself, if you watched him at Ohio State. They're on national TV almost every single weekend. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny on The Fan. You can tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. You can call the show at 800-636-1067. Before we get out of here, coming up in about 11 minutes, I'll set the table for the weekend that will be in the NFL. Also want to play my favorite couple of clips from the Ron Rivera press conference being introduced as head coach of the Redskins yesterday in Ashburn. But now this news cycle in 2020 doesn't slow down, baby. I thought we'd be sitting here talking Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio all day, and now the announcement came down. You just heard the breaking news here on The Fan. Chase Young has declared for the NFL draft. He is going to be eligible to be taken at the top of the board. Cincinnati picks one. They're going to take Joe Burrow out of LSU very likely. They could pull the all-time stunner and take, say, Chase Young, at which point the Redskins would have quite a decision to make. But if pick one is chalk and Burrow goes to the Bengals and they get the Ohio kid to run their offense for the next several years who's coming off of a unbelievably impressive season at LSU, the Redskins at number two would then have to decide between Chase Young or trading back. They could do some other things, very unlikely that they would. And I'm asking you, is Young the type of player who's can't miss? Because I am very much pro trading back generally. I think it's the right practice. I think the process, which I'm more of a process guy than a results guy, that normally works the best. See New England, see some of the other teams that do this, major in trading back, minor in kind of staying put. More good over fewer great. Quantity over quality in the draft. The more lottery tickets you have in your hand, the more likely you hit the jackpot at some point. But you have to have great players. We've been talking for years about the lack of talent in this locker room. And we overrate the guys who are pretty good here. John Allen, who was on the show earlier today, love number 93. Very successful last couple of seasons here in Washington. Good defensive lineman. But in 3 years, hadn't made a Pro Bowl. He's not nationally renowned. He's just really good. Ryan Kerrigan, really good. Same with Deron Payne. Same with Matt Ioannidis. You're sending your punter Tressway to the Pro Bowl. Nobody else. That's revealing. And I go back to the first team All-Pro declarations. You haven't had an offensive or defensive player named the best player in the sport at his position since 92. One reason why is you miss out on the opportunity to add, you know, those can't-miss, must-have elite players. If I was to tell you that Chase Young was J.J. Watt or Aaron Donald in terms of how much he'll influence games, you wouldn't think twice about taking him instead of trading back. So what the Redskins have to do now is determine, is he that caliber of guy? Is he that special and that unique and that much of a contributor immediately that he changes everything and sends ripple effects through the entire team? Now, don't call up here and tell me you watched him play Clemson and you don't want him because he didn't have any sacks, because he shut the run down and he took on double teams all night long in that semifinal game. Now, he didn't have a sack in his last three games. That is a worry. That is a concern. I get that. But he had seven in the two games before that against Penn State and Wisconsin, two highly ranked teams at the time who have great offensive lines with players getting drafted in the first couple rounds. 16 and a half sacks this year. The numbers match what the smart people who follow the draft for a living tell you. Let's go to Rob in Ashburn. Chase Young has declared. Your thoughts?
Hey, how's it going, Grant?
Good, thank you.
Hey, buddy. I would trade back. Me personally, because I think we need more help on an offensive line. I think you can get a better, maybe second, third round end rusher, just as almost as good. And then you can get a great tackle, because we need help on the offensive line a lot worse than we do a defensive line. And if you can get an extra second round, which we don't have this year, and a extra first round next year, I just think it's I don't know.
Everything you're saying makes sense, but let me ask you directly what I said rhetorically a moment ago. If you make that trade back and he ends up becoming a two-time defensive player of the year in his first four or five seasons, will you regret it?
No. I mean, it is what it is. It's a crapshoot. Look at tell me how many defensive has come out.
You're breaking up. Thanks for the call. I would, because there's a real good chance at that point you still would be searching for your first All-Pro in 30-plus years at that time. Chris in Hyattsville, how are you?
Hey, Grant. Look, normally I would agree with you. I'm not a big fan of trading back when you have an opportunity to take an elite player. I feel like it's in some ways just being indecisive and fear of failure that motivates people to trade back. However, I don't okay, so you made the comparison, like, you know, what if Chase Young is J.J. Watt, right? Okay, well, what if I said Jerry Jeudy is Michael Thomas, right? Who has a bigger net impact on the team, an elite offensive player or an elite defensive player? I think you can get an elite offensive player and a guy like Jeudy to complement McLaurin, and that is going to help the team succeed much quicker and get to the playoffs much faster, because the overall net impact of a defensive player in an offensive league is muted.
So,
and that's my take on it.
Yeah, I'll take an edge rusher over a wide receiver. I think your point offense over defense works, and I tend to agree with it. But if your actual comp is a wideout versus a front seven pass rusher, then I'll take the front seven pass rusher. And it's why the annual average value of the best players at that position is every bit as higher than wide receivers. Now, you got a couple of guys like Antonio Brown who get, this is a funny comp now because he's out of the league, you know, way up toward $20 million. Generally speaking, those guys are harder to deal with as well. But I understand your logic and your reasoning on wanting to go wide out. What I would be curious to know is, would you take Jerry Jeudy at two, or are you moving down a few picks to try to get him? Because this is a different conversation, but this wide receiver class is so deep, I don't think I would take Jerry Jeudy in the top five this year. There's just too many high-end starter immediate wide receivers, you know, guys that right away are on the field catching footballs for you. Fair discussion. And I think this is why, to Chris's point, I don't know that there's a wrong answer for the Redskins. Normally I sit here and I say they got to do this. I'll kill them if they don't. You know, if they make decision B, it's flawed and they're doing the wrong thing. This year, they trade back. I think it could work wonderfully. They take Chase Young. A lot of people are going to be buying jerseys. I don't think Redskins fans necessarily are going to be upset with one or the other. But getting this right, when hindsight becomes wisdom a few years from now, is going to be critical in their ability to turn the corner. I also think having added Ron Rivera as your head coach, defense first, having brought in Jack Del Rio, defensive coordinator, worked with Julius Peppers, 0-2, second best defense in the league, Carolina, worked with Von Miller, 12-14, second best defense in the league, Denver. That makes me more willing, more likely to take Chase Young. I much prefer the possibility of getting the most out of him and turning him into a best in the league at his position caliber player with Rivera and Del Rio maximizing his potential than, say, if Greg Banuski was still here and you were just running it back with Gruden and company in 2020. Tony in Fairfax, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Grant, I just wanted to say I'm sure this is Danny's favorite segment, us playing hypothetical GM, but here we go. I would trade back if I could get two first-round picks in this year's draft. Obviously, you'd get a little something else, but I'd like to see two wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, come to the Redskins. But if you can't get two in this year's draft, then I say you just take Chase Young.
So you're drafting two wide receivers after Terry McLaurin just went for over 900 yards. You've got a sixth-rounder in Kelvin Harmon who needs reps. Not that I wouldn't rather have CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy than him. And Steven Sims coming on as an undrafted slot receiver. You got too many needs to draft two wide receivers. People are going crazy with the wide receiver thing. Yeah, you need more help for Dwayne Haskins, but you got no durable proven running backs if Adrian Peterson isn't brought back, which isn't a slam dunk. You don't have a left tackle. Trent Williams is not, as of right now, in the plans for next season. You started a 36-year-old, long in the tooth, who was average at best last year in Donald Penn. Your Pro Bowl right guard, Brandon Scherff, is a free agent to be, and it looks like could be headed out. So you need to upgrade your offensive line. You need to, the tight end position is a disaster. Complete debacle. Jordan Reed didn't play all season, concussion. Vernon Davis got hurt in September, didn't play after that, is not under contract and is old. You had probably as bad a tight end position as any team in the league, despite spending more money at tight end than any club in the NFL this year. That's got to be a priority in the draft, presumably. Someone who can win a mismatch and be a matchup nightmare. And that's just on offense. On defense, you don't have corners. Josh Norman's on his way out. You were playing guys that me and you couldn't have picked out of a lineup this past weekend. Landon Collins and a safety to be named later. You need someone else next to him. Your inside linebacking core is just okay. Do you want to do better than that? Too many needs to draft two wide receivers after drafting two and getting an undrafted priority guy all on the field this year. 800-636-1067 is the number. Chase Young declares for the draft. Is he a guy you've got to take? Is he good enough that he is a must-add at that pick, or are you willing to trade down and possibly risk missing out on the next great defensive player in the National Football League? Plus, we'll take a quick peek at all four playoff games this weekend. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Danny made his way to the doctor. Got a little physical to start the 2020 year. Make sure everything's okay. He's fine. He just wants to double check and make sure. And who doesn't want to go to the doctor and get bad news to start a calendar year, right? If you missed any part of today's show, it's not a problem. You can rewind up to 24 hours. Grant and Danny with radio.com rewind function. Download the app, select our station, and go back in time. Let's go forward in time before we get back to the phones to wrap things up and look at this weekend's playoff matchups. There are four of them to get you set for, starting with a doubleheader in the AFC on Saturday night. Kickoff of Game 1 at 4:35, the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans. Fifth-seeded Buffalo, Josh Allen, and a championship-caliber defense. Fourth-seeded Houston, one of the league's most talented rosters, Watson, Hopkins, Watt. Yet, they can't put it together. They've never won back-to-back games collectively this season. And, with all that talent, are only at this point three-point favorites going into their matchup with the Bills, who, at times, struggle to score points. Two teams that just can't get right in the playoffs. The Bills haven't won a game in the postseason since 1995. That year, Forrest Gump won the Academy Award and Gangster's Paradise was blaring from speakers in the locker room pregame. Meanwhile, Houston becomes synonymous if they lose again this weekend with that wild card round Saturday afternoon early loss. They're 1-3 now in the playoffs under Bill O'Brien. And in their eight previous playoff appearances as an organization, they've never gotten to an AFC Championship game. Speaking of O'Brien, that guy's got more lives than a cat, doesn't he? I mean, he's the head coach. He's the GM. He might have as much power as anybody coaching in the NFL other than Bill Belichick because they don't have a GM and he called all the shots this year. So he tried to help himself out like every coach would. Traded for Laramie Tunsil, Kenny Stills, Duke Johnson. At some point, you better move the ball and score points. You're an offensive expert, right? Year six, win now mode. You made those moves for the 2020 playoffs. It's put up or shut up time for Bill O'Brien. Titans-Patriots game, the nightcap on Saturday night in the AFC. Tennessee at New England. They kick off at 8:15. The stat that I just can't get past from that game, Bill Belichick, against his assistants in his career, is just 14-13 as he prepares to match wits with Mike Vrabel. Meanwhile, Tom Brady, rough end to his regular season. Didn't play well in a loss to the Miami Dolphins. 30 playoff wins under his belt. The rest of the playoff field at quarterback, 11 guys, 26 wins. One of those 11, Ryan Tannehill, has never even played in the postseason. The Titans offense has been the best in the sport in the second half of the year. Show of hands here. How many people have heard of Arthur Smith? Who is that guy? Well, he's the offensive coordinator in Tennessee, and he did a whale of a job this year with the Titans. Give me the Texans and the Titans in these two games. I think Tennessee beats New England. The clock strikes 11:59. I'm not going to quite bury the Patriots yet, but this team offensively has been challenged all year. They got some problems. And I think the Titans with Derrick Henry are going to be able to control the tempo of the game. It'll be low scoring, something like 17-14, 20-17. But give me Texans at home, Titans on the road on Saturday. Let's get to Sunday and your NFC game. That's right, Tommy. Crank up the Fox music for the NFC tilts. New Orleans 105 Superdome kickoff. Matinee for the Vikings and the Saints. Poor Minnesota and Kirk Cousins. You know, Kirk, I was pulling for you, dude. I wanted to see you make a playoff run to shut a lot of people up, but it's just not going to happen. The Vikings could not have gotten a worse draw than they did. You play Seattle, you play San Francisco or Green Bay, all winnable games. Maybe you don't win any of those, but you could have. They all would have been tight. I think the Saints are the best team in the NFC. They didn't even get a bye. You got to go to New Orleans in the dome in that loud environment and play a Saints team with Alvin Kamara getting healthy and Drew Brees rolling. Good luck. Vikings secondary will get exposed by Michael Thomas. Dalvin Cook, probably not 100%. Cousins plays okay, and they lose. I think the Saints win a 27-17 type game. We'll cap the weekend Sunday at 4:40 in Philly at Lincoln Financial Field with the Seahawks and the Eagles. Everyone wants to bury the NFC East. Everyone wants to make fun of Philadelphia. Just know that in all of the previous situations where a division winner has won 9 or fewer games, 14 times, that division winner that everyone made fun of going to the playoffs has gone 9-5 in the past. Seattle is barely a favorite on the road, 1.5 last I checked. I'll take the Eagles in those points, but I am going to pick Philadelphia outright at home. Both home teams win on Sunday. Carson Wentz and his band of merry misfits outduel Seattle. If Chris Carson was healthy, I'd pick the Seahawks, but their offense will be going through Russell Wilson. In the passing game, they're better built to pound the football, and Marshawn Lynch is 900 years old. So, my winners this weekend, the Texans, the Titans, Saints, and Eagles, only New Orleans having a chance in the end to play in the Super Bowl. And there is your preview of the weekend that lies ahead in the NFL playoffs on Grant and Danny. Let's wind the show down with a couple of calls. Steve's in Fairfax on the day that Chase Young declared for the draft. What's up, Steve?
Grant, got to take this guy, man. Take him. There's no time to get cute. I'm so tired of us getting good, solid guys. Payne, Allen, you know, Sweat, good, solid. I need great, exceptional. I am so tired of seeing guys tear up the NFL that we pass on. This is our chance, man. With Rivera, I'm telling you, it's a no-brainer. Don't get cute. Take him.
Steve, how many years have we spent convincing ourselves that our good players are great here in Washington, too? We've been doing this for as long as I can remember, and it's not a knock on these guys. There's no shame in being good. We've got quality NFL starters who would play on 24, 25 teams here. But you don't have a whole lot of players that clubs around the league would move mountains to acquire. Chase Young might be one of those guys. Nick in Springfield, you're up.
Hey, Grant, thanks for having me.
You got it.
No, you have to take Chase Young. This is twice in the last some odd years that we have, not twice, but within this past decade, twice we've skipped out on the process of taking the better once in a generational talent. We trade down to get Kerrigan where we could have gotten J.J. Watt. Kerrigan's great, first ballot. Hall of very good, but you passed on three-time Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt, and then in 2017, I screamed at my TV when we took Daron Payne, who's very good, but should have gotten the All-Pro, Pro Bowl, first-team All-Pro, Derwin James, who, going into training camp, people in L.A. were saying he's already, you know, taking the leadership role. So
yeah, he might be a generational talent, too. You went a little safer with Payne. I can't knock picks where you get guys who will ultimately probably play in a Pro Bowl, and I think Daron Payne will. Ryan Kerrigan's been in several. So those aren't losses, but you can dream a little bit on what may have been. And I just don't want to be years from now looking back and saying, man, J.J. Watt 2.0 or you know, you make him a pass rusher for the better comp. Maybe it's Von Miller. I'm just talking an impact, Aaron Donald, someone like that. But you know, Von Miller 2.0 could have been a Redskin. It will matter what you're offered. That package is important. You can't just say no outright. You know, you live with rules, you get yourself in trouble. You want to be willing to adjust and adapt as you find out what is being offered. Big thank you to all of you for listening. If you missed Charles Davis, who was great on the show today, or Redskins defensive lineman John Allen reacting to the hires of Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio, make sure you podcast us, grantanddanny.com, thefandc.com, or you can just go back, 24-hour rewind function, radio.com, download the app, select our station, and go back in time. Chad Dukes versus the world is up next. Thanks so much to all of you for listening. To quote the ancient philosopher, Daniel S. Snyder, happy Thanksgiving.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.